ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ രാം രാം രാമ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 രാമ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 രാമ രാം രാം രാമ കൃഷ്ണ 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 രാമ രാം രാം രാമ കൃഷ്ണ 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 രാമ രാം രാം രാമ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ രാം രാം കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ രാം രാം കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ രാം രാം കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാം
നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തി വേദാന്ത സ്വാമീനിതി നാമിനി നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തി വേദാന്ത സ്വാമീനിതി നാമിനി नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणी Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, वैकुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज 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 विहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभा यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन 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 यमुना तीर वन चारी यमुना तीर वन चारी यमुना तीर वन चारी यमुना तीर वन चारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे हरे
శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపు గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త వృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురువన్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమో విష్ణు ప్రదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాదిం స్వపదాంబికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమః ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే. ஹே கிருஷ்ண கருணா சிந்தோ தீனபந்தோ ஜகல்பதே கோபேஷ கோபிகா காந்த ராதா காந்த நமோஸ்துதே. தப்த காஞ்சன கௌராங்கி ராதே பிருந்தாவனேஸ்வரி ருஷபானுஸ்துதே தேவி பிரணமாமி ஹரி பிரியே. வாஞ்சகல்பதருப்யாஸ்ச கிருபா சிந்தூப்ய ஏவ ச பதீதானாம் பாவனேப்யோ வைஷ்ணவேப்யோ நமோ நம. ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபோ நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதார ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌர பக்த விருந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. ஓம் பார்த்தாய பிரதிபோதிதாம் பகவதாம் நாராயணேன ஸ்வயம் வியாசேன க்ரதிதாம் புராண முனினாம் மத்யே மகாபாரதம் அத்வைதாமிருதவர்ஷிணிம் பகவதிம் அஷ்டாதசாத்யாயினிம் அம்ப த்வாமனுசந்ததாமி பகவத்கீதே பவத்வேஷிணிம். நமோஸ்துதே வியாச விஷால புத்தே புல்லாரவிந்தாயத பத்மநேத்ரா யேன த்வயா பாரத தைல பூர்ணம் பிரஜ்வாலிதோ ஞானமய ப்ரதீபாம். பிரபன்ன பாரிஜாதாய தோத்ரவேத்ரை கவாணயே ஞானமுத்ராய கிருஷ்ணாய கீதாமிருததுஹே நமாம். வசுதேவசுதம் தேவம் கம்சஜானூரமர்தனம் தேவகீ பரமானந்தம் கிருஷ்ணம் வந்தே ஜகல்குரும். மூகம் கரோதி வாஜாலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் யல் கிருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம். யப்ரஹ்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ரமருதஸ்த்வன் வந்தி திவ்யை ஸ்தவேய வேதை சாங்கவதை க்ரமோபனிஷதேர் காயந்தியம் சாமகாஹ. தியானாவஸ்தித தத்கதேன மனசோ பஷ்யந்தியம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாந்தம் ந விதுஸ்வரா சுரகணை தேவாய தஸ்மை நம. ஓம் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணாய நம. ஸ்ரீமதி ராதிகாயை நம. சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்த. சோ லாஸ்ட் சாட்டர்டே வி வர் டிஸ்கசிங் தி செகண்ட் சாப்டர் ஆஃப் பகவத்கீதா விச் இஸ் பேசிக்கலி தி essence of Bhagavad Gita or contents of Bhagavad Gita summarized as Srila Prabhupada has put it like that. In the original Bhagavad Gita it is also referred to as Sankhya Yoga. But more than Sankhya Yoga is not the only topic that is discussed there. There are other topics also in there. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has called it as the essence of the essence of Bhagavad Gita or the contents of Bhagavad Gita, and on the same on the same terminologies Srila Prabhupada also mentions that as the contents of Bhagavad Gita. Now, what did we discuss there? We have discussed a few important things in Bhagavad Gita which will keep coming again and again in different ways. Bhagavad Gita is a very mysterious book. Everyone recognizes that for various reasons. At some point, some people feel that Krishna has put things in a very complicated way. Because our mind is so much accustomed to accepting black and white things. We can't see. We have to be everything in a mathematical equation we want to bring it into. And that is not possible. In the spiritual world, Krishna has Krishna's choice is so wide that in that state, in order to understand Supreme Personality, Krishna, Krishna has given us some light through Bhagavad Gita. So, to understand Bhagavad Gita is very difficult. It is a very difficult book. It's a very mysterious book, as many personalities have acknowledged. That is why there are so many commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. It is for this reason that so many commentaries have come out on Bhagavad Gita. Some people have taken the knowledge side of Bhagavad Gita, Jnana Margam, as the essence of which Bhagavad Gita is established. Some others have taken Karma Yoga as the process or the path of work, action, as the basis of Bhagavad Gita. Some others have taken the devotional process, Bhakti Yoga, as the essence. And like this, Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti, the three main processes, has brought different commentaries also on Bhagavad Gita from different personalities. But everyone acknowledges one thing, that Bhagavad Gita is a very mysterious book. Because the more we try to understand, unless one has mercy from Krishna, only then you can understand Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise it is not possible. You may be any great scholar, any learned personality, but at the end, Krishna's words are such that instructions in Bhagavad Gita, in order to understand that, some mercy from Krishna is also necessary. So prior to reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita, one has to constantly pray to Krishna to give some limelight into what he intended to, what he wanted us to understand through these words. That understanding should come to us by Krishna's mercy alone. Otherwise, it is not possible. People may think sometimes, how can we pray to Krishna? Is that not we are asking him for something? This false understanding has many people have this, that, oh, we shouldn't ask anything from Krishna. Even if you look into the history, many, many great devotees, including the greatest personality, Krishna's devotee, Uddhava, even after Krishna has recognized him as my greatest devotee, even that Uddhava has prayed to Krishna at the last minute. This you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, it is not that one should not pray to Krishna. One should pray to Krishna to give us the understanding. Uddhava asked Krishna that, you have spoken to me so many things, but in order that knowledge to manifest in me, unless you want that to happen, tavahi karunaya bandusneham vijahyam tavahi karunaya todbu, that unless I have that your mercy, what you have spoken in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam will not come to me, manifest in me. This was Uddhava's very clear-cut statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What did Uddhava say? Very last minute, when Uddhava was going away to Badrinath, he says to Krishna, Namostu de Mahayogin. Addressing Krishna as Mahayogi, the greatest of all the yogis. There are yogis, there is yogish, there are advanced yogis, and among them, Krishna is the Mahayogi, greatest of all. Namostu de Mahayogin, prabannam manushadhimam. I surrender at your lotus feet, Uddhava says to Krishna. Why? Yadha tva charanam bojim. Because I do need radisyal anavayini. That my attachment to that lotus feet should never diminish or decrease at any time. Rather, it should not be disturbed by anything else in this creation. This was Uddhava's last moment prayers to Krishna. So, if a personality like Uddhava, who has come to such a stage of realization and who had such a personal and close association with Krishna, if he had to pray to Krishna, what about our position? How can we say that, oh, we will not pray and ask anything from Krishna? No, we have to ask from Krishna. Only thing, we have to ask right thing, that is to ask Krishna to help us to understand his instructions in Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the most important thing, that without Krishna's mercy, it is not possible to understand Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Namostu de Mahayogin prabhanna manushadhimam yadha tu acharanam boje radisyal anavayini. Anavayini means without any danger, without any abhayam. That is what Uddhava was asking, because he knew there is danger all the time, that he could fall from that position. You could fall from your spiritual position any time, unless there is a strong support from Krishna. So, keeping that in mind, we should continue with Bhagavad Gita. Because often, you will notice that so many questions will come up. When we discuss from now on, particularly from second chapter onwards, questions after questions will come. Because while living in this conditioned world, in this material world, we pick up so many different kinds of understanding according to our modes of nature and according to our taste or the attitude, whatever it is, according to our nature, we will develop certain understanding. And something when Krishna says there in the Bhagavad Gita that it is not like that, it is like this, then we start getting confused about it. We start asking questions about it. Why is it like this? Why is it like that? And sometimes the perfect understanding can only come when Krishna has enlightened us about it. So, in the second chapter, if you look, you will find there is reference to, there are three or, I think there's about three major topics discussed. In Shastram, it's called Prakaranam. Prakaranam means one particular topic taken up and discussed in detail. That is called a Prakaranam. So, there are three Prakaranams in the second chapter, in the Khandas. Particularly, Krishna has spoken the first part, of course, the most major, important thing to understand that we are spirit soul. That has to be convinced in ourselves. And in order to make us understand that our identity is spirit soul, not the body, Krishna has used various ways, various angles. He is seeing the importance of the soul and try to tell us that this is the position of the living entity, that you are spirit soul, not the body. So that is the first topic that is discussed about 15-20 verses. In through that, Krishna gave us the understanding that we are not the body, we are spirit soul. And one who has reflected on it enough, he will also come to realize that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. So once we understand that we are spirit soul, then we have to look forward further from there. Secondly, Krishna has also spoken about something, another important thing, what is known as karma siddhantam, siddhantam of karma. That means that in Vedas, there is what is known as karmagandam. So this karmagandam is a very prominent part of the Vedas. Unlike the jnanagandam and upasanagandam, jnanimargam and bhaktimargam, this karmagandam is far more elaborate in the Vedic literature. You can say a majority of Vedic literature is referenced to karmagandam. So you cannot ignore karmagandam. But from karmagandam, what all things can happen, what misunderstanding can happen from karmagandam, and in relationship with karma yogam and karmagandam, how things can be, things can change. That actual intention was to develop karma yogam in one's mind, the attitude of sacrificing the results of action, karma yogam. But instead, karmagandam developed a feeling among people that it's an opportunity to go to the heavenly planets and to reap the benefits from there. So these things could happen from karmagandam. Krishna pointed out there and also told us that what is the siddhantam or what is the principle on which karma yogam will work. So that was another topic that was discussed in the second chapter. And then there was the third topic which was also discussed there is what is known as sthitapratnyam. Sthitapratnya means sthitapratnyatvam, or in other words, one's whose my intelligence is very steady. So these were the three topics that was discussed. So Krishna spent about 18 to 20 verses or so to discuss this topic of sthitapratnyatvam, or one whose intelligence is steady. And in that process, because Arjuna raised this question to Krishna, sthitapratnyasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava. Keshava, what is the nature of a person whose intelligence is steady? Because when Krishna spoke about jnana margam and karma margam, both these two different processes, Arjuna seems to have got confused a bit. And that he says in the third chapter, in the beginning itself, he says there is some confusion in my mind. But prior to that, when he heard about the jnana margam and karma margam, and when Krishna explained about the nature of a person who has followed the karma margam strictly, what will happen to him? And then samadhau ajala buddhi, Krishna says his buddhi or intelligence is very, very steady. Samadhau ajala buddhi, Krishna says like that. So when Arjuna heard that, Arjuna's problem was the same, that his buddhi was not very steady. It was wavering all the time. In the beginning he said something, then Krishna spoke something and he understood something else. And like this, the intelligence started wavering. His buddhi started wavering. Now, there are little bit of problems here, because from the Vedic point of view, many of these words are in the spiritual context. For example, buddhi. Buddhi, generally we will say somebody is intelligent, somebody is very intelligent, somebody is extremely intelligent. We keep saying like this in our material world, in our dealings and transactions. But it is not that buddhi Krishna is talking about here. From the Vedic point of view, the intelligence has, in English word intelligence has got two words you can use in substitute there. One is called buddhi and the other one is called prajna. So prajna and buddhi are two words that are used in relationship with intelligence. Buddhi is actually what it really means from the Vedic point of view or from the Shastric point of view is one who has got the capacity to understand the injunctions in the Shastra. That is Buddhi. It is not that one who can solve a mathematical equation or design a car or aeroplane. He is not considered to be the Buddhi-wise, he is not considered to be very advanced. That may be from the material point of view, it may be called intelligence. But when it comes to spiritual point of view, those things have no relevance. Because the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is higher than any of the other knowledges, because it is the ultimate answer what for the human life is here for. We have got a human body and what this human body is meant to be used for. So, to call someone as Buddhiman or one who is intelligent has to be based on the understanding of the Shastram or the injunctions of the Shastram or the scriptures. So, one who has got that kind of intelligence, that is what is referred to as Buddhi in the Shastra. That is one thing. Secondly, when that Buddhi becomes very steady and becomes very sharp, sharp means due to purification of the senses and the mind, I have mentioned this before, that we have got the material nature on one thing, then we have got the senses, then you have got the intelligent mind, then we have got the intelligence, and above all there is the soul. So on a gradual level, if you look from the very, very, very coarse thing called matter, you go finer and then it comes to senses. When you come to senses, it's finer than the matter. Finer than the senses are the mind, or subtle than the senses are the mind. And finer than the mind is the intelligence. And finer than the intelligence is the soul. This is how that gradual progression into the soul, spiritual level comes to. So in between, the intelligence has got a big role there in controlling the mind and the senses. Provided that intelligence is purified, the pure intelligence if one has. But the difficulty is that the intelligence gets purified when the senses are controlled and when the mind is controlled. So mind and senses also has a role in purifying the intelligence. Intelligence you can't purify on by any means, because it's a finer thing than the mind and the senses. Although senses and the mind are mind are also finer, but intelligence is more fine, just like the soul, which is more difficult for us to understand, is finer than any of these things. Now, because of this, in the second chapter when Sthita Prajñatvam was discussed, when one's intelligence has come to that level where it has been purified to such an extent that it will not waver anymore, that it is steady in its position, then it's called Prajña. So that is what the difference between Prajña and Buddhi. Buddhi is that intelligence able to grasp something when it's spoken from the Shastram. One should be able to catch hold of that, what it's meant by that, proper understanding. And secondly, when that Buddhi becomes purified, by purified intelligence, it becomes fixed up in its position, then it is known as Prajña, Sthita Prajña, or steady intelligence, it is called. Sthita Prajña Stega Bhasha Samadhista Sekeshava. That he is steady, he has no wavering at all. So, because of that, Arjuna asked that question to Krishna. In one verse, he asked that question, and Krishna answered in 18 or 20 verses. So, that is why that particular question is very significant, because what will happen is, when we go further from here to other chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, for example, Karma Yoga, next chapter itself, there will be questions now. You may find sometimes that is Bhagavad Gita contradicting from one chapter to another chapter? This question may come to your mind. For example, the same thing what we are discussing in the second chapter, at the end of third chapter again comes where intelligence and mind is discussed in relationship with Rajogunam. Rajogunam is discussed in the third chapter. And the same mind and intelligence is discussed in the sixth chapter later on, where in relationship with control of mind and the body. So many things. Atma Samyama Yogam, it is called. And or the Sanghayogam. Prabhupada has given a name of Sanghayogam there. So whatever it is, in all these things, the same topic is discussed from different ways in different contexts. So when you start reading them, it is quite possible that you may find, how can this one statement Krishna is making like this, one statement, another place he is saying in a different way. So it is bit difficult. And therefore, Prabhupada also says in the Bhagavad Gita that it is the nature of Bhagavad Gita is like that. He says here that the mystery of Bhagavad Gita is such that anyone who, he says, in the previous chapter, this is in the third chapter, Prabhupada writes there, as prelude to the Bhagavad Gita, many different parts were explained, such as Sangha Yogam, Buddhi Yogam, control of the senses by intelligence, work without fruitive desire, and the position of the neophyte. This was all presented unsystematically. Prabhupada is mentioned like that. This was all presented unsystematically. And so from there you can see that this confusion is happening, because often what happens is we will read one chapter or we may read one verse and then we'll start saying, oh, I've understood, this is what Krishna is saying, this is it, nothing else, this is it. Once you take that attitude, then there will be confusion. On the other hand, not by reading one verse, not by reading one chapter, you should jump into a conclusion. You should read the whole of Bhagavad Gita repeatedly, as many times as possible. And from that, some understanding by Krishna's mercy will come, that this is in what context each of these things have some validity. Why it is important, mind is important in this situation, why intelligence is important in another situation, why senses are important in a third situation. Like this, in different ways, you will understand the philosophical side of Bhagavad Gita. And in what context all this is spoken, that should be always remembered. Because as I mentioned before, coming from the materialistic way of life, we have certain conditioning in us. And that conditioning is always to think everything in terms of what we are trained to think. And our mind will only understand things what is framed in that particular way. We are not that pure that we will be able to think independently. That is why the sharpness of the mind isn't there to catch that as easily as Krishna has mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, you may have so many questions. As soon as we go through now into the next chapter and go on, so many alternate options are coming out and so many questions will also come up. And there will be various doubts that will come up. But what we'll do is, today we will go through as it is in the Bhagavad Gita, because the time is limited. But as and when we finish this Bhagavad Gita, if still some questions are there, at that time we can discuss it. Because it is possible that some of the questions will be answered later on in the remaining chapters. So instead of repeating it again later, the best thing would be to go through all the chapters, and after that there will be some understanding. This is how Bhagavad Gita is structured, or Krishna has spoken through Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, repeatedly reading Bhagavad Gita and the commentary purport by Srila Prabhupada, you will get a feeling for what Krishna is sending the message through. And as much as the mystery behind it will be more and more clearer as soon as we meditate on Krishna's lotus feet to give that understanding. Otherwise, it is not possible. That is the first thing to remember. So, Sthita Prajnatvam, that is what we are discussing. The third topic that is discussed in the second chapter. So, what did Arjuna say to Krishna? Arjuna says to Krishna, Sthita Prajnasyaga Bhasha, that is the verse in the second chapter, where Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Sthita Prajnasyaga Bhasha, Samadhisthase Keshava, Sthita Dhi Kim Prabhasheda, Kima Sthita Vrajeda Kim. That was the question. Arjuna wanted to know from Krishna that Sthidhadi. Sthidhadi means one whose intelligence is very fixed. This is verse 54 in second chapter. So there Arjuna says to Krishna, Sthidhadi, if his intelligence is very fixed, how will he speak and how will he walk and how will he and will he sit in one place or will he wander around? Because Arjuna wanted to know that such a person exists whose intelligence is very, very steady. That is what Arjuna wanted to know from Krishna. So in answer to that, Krishna started from there, Prajahari Yada Kaman onwards, Sri Bhagavan Vaja, and to, right up to the end of Bhagavad Gita, which we very briefly discussed on last Saturday. Now here, the question was, Sthidhadhi Kim Prabhasheda Kimasida Vrajeda Kim. That was the question. So you can see, how does he go, Vrajeda, how does he walk around, what will happen to him at the end? So answer to that, you will find the answer in these verses at the very end. Vrajeda Kim, how is he going to travel? That was the question. Because Arjuna thought, this must be a very special person whose intelligence is very steady. All of us think like that, isn't it? We also think, when our minds start wavering, we also know that everybody's mind wavers in this world. No one is free from this disease. And because of that, when a crisis comes in life, automatically we start thinking, why is the mind going like a pendulum? One moment like this, and next moment to the other end, and back again this way. This is not unable to make a decision which way to go. And this is everyone faces in this world. But that is not the important thing. Important thing is that this wavering of the mind, how will it stop? That was the question. Vrajeda Kim, and how what will be that person? What will happen to that person? This was Arjuna's question. So answer to that, what Krishna said was, at the end you will notice, verse 71 and 72. If you take those two verses, because that was the final two verses from Krishna. Krishna says,
Vihaya kamanya sarvan pumam sharadin spruha nirmamo nirahangara sashanti madigacchati.
That vihaya kamanya sarvan, that he will wander around because he has no desires anymore in him. He has no material desires. So therefore, because he has no desires, he is free to go. Vihaya kamanya sarvan. That then his nispruha, nirmamam and nirahangaram, all the three things has come to him. He has no attachment, he has no false ego, and he has no desires at all. So therefore, he is free. That is the nature of that body, he said. Krishna says there. So his body will be like that, that, or his senses, in other words, will be such that it will not show any interest in any of these things. That our, not like our senses. Our senses are waiting for the opportunity to pounce on something. Whereas Krishna says here, nirmamam, nispruha, nirmamam and nirahangaram. These three things will come to that person, and whose mind will not waver after that. It will, but his senses will follow that route. In other words, the senses are completely under control. That is the first thing Krishna wanted to say. Secondly,
vihaya kamanya sarvan pumam sharadim spruha nirmamo nirahangara sashandim adigachadi.
Then Krishna says in the last verse there, 72, what will happen is that what will happen to his soul? That is the question. The senses he mentioned. Now what will happen to the soul?
Soul, Krishna says, esha brahmi sthiti partha nainam prapya vimuhyadi stitva syamandakalevi
brahmanurva anamrachadi. That soul has to go back. It cannot stay here because it's already reached that state of realization that it has all, what it has to go through, it has already gone through. And therefore,
esha brahmi sthiti partha nainam prapya vimuhyadi stitvasyam andagalevi brahmanurvanamurchadi.
That he has already got that steady intelligence. That means his already liberation has come to him. He has, doesn't have to do anything anymore. Only he is liberated if he has come to that stage. And therefore, first of all, Krishna spoke about the way the senses will go and the body. And then now he spoke about the nature of the soul, how the soul is going to go. And then he also mentioned about the senses in other place also. In the verse 64 also, Krishna mentions there that ragadvesha vyuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atmavashyair vidhaya atma prasandam adigachadi. Then once he is purified from ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion or desires, ragam and dvesham, love and hate, if all these things he is purified, then his senses will not disturb him anymore. So already the senses, direction of the senses, Krishna is saying there, ragadvesha vyuktaistu, that one is free from ragam and dvesham, then the senses are already purified and it will not give him any disturbance. But because it's like that, one should not think that now that my senses are purified, I can take chances with my senses.
You shouldn't take still any chance with his senses. That's the intelligent thing to do. So, in three different ways, one reference to the body, one reference to the senses, another one reference to the soul. And that is all in reference to that word, Vrajeda Kim. Vrajeda Kim. This was what he asked. And then, there was another also interesting aspect there, Kim Prabhasheda, how will he speak? This was another question which Arjuna has raised. How will he speak? So, answer to that is in verse 57. Where it says, Yasarvatrana visnehastatal prapishubhashubam nabhinandadi nadveshti tasya pratya pratishtidaha nabhinandadi nadveshti. No, he will not engage in glorifying someone nor condemning someone. That will be his nature when his pratya is properly steady or his intelligence is properly fixed up. That's what will happen to that person. Krishna says that will be the nature of that soul. Nor he will be too concerned when good thing comes to him or bad things happen. Inauspicious or auspicious things happen, still he would not be disturbed. This is what Krishna is saying there. So, Krishna has given in these verses the answer to that question which Arjuna has raised. How will he speak? He will speak like this. That he will speak like this. He will not condemn, he will not glorify anyone. Nor will he show any auspicious or inauspicious things in life, would not bother him anymore. All these are the answers to that. And then, that is Kim Prabhashida. Then the question was, Kim Asida. Kim Asida means that what will happen to him, that where will he sit or will he wander around? Nandish, in answer to that, Krishna gave that best example in verse 69, that where will he differ from the ordinary people? Siddha Pratnya, one whose intelligence is steady, what will be the difference? Ya nisha sarva bhudanam yasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhudani sa nisha pasyado munim. That what is interesting here is that kim asidam, how will he be? What will he be doing? So the answer to that is this, how he will be. That he will be different than the ordinary people. In what sense? That tasyam jagarti samyami ya nisha sarva bhudanam. When the ordinary conditioned souls, they are in jagrat state. Jagrati state means the vacant state. When they are awake, because they are awake due to the material existence, due to samsaram. Samsaram or material existence, that is what is keeping them awake and busy in their activities. Isn't it? That is busy in their activities. But at that point in time, samyami, who has reached samyama stage, that means one who has gone through all the problem, all the different processes of yoga systems like dharana, dhyanam, samadhi, all different things, what comes controls the mind. And if he has reached that level or is fully fixed up in samadhi, in spiritual life, who is properly situated in the spiritual platform, that personality, tasyam jagrati samyami, he is awake at that time. The materialist who is busy in the senses and sense enjoyment, who is completely absorbed in the material world, material activities, ya, that is, ya nisha sarva bhudanam tasya jagrati samyami, that when he is busy in the material activities, the person in the material existence, the person who is fixed in the spiritual world or spiritual platform, he is sleeping. This is just the opposite. And when the conditioned soul or samsari, one who is accepted the material world as reality and enjoying the material world all the time, when he goes to sleep, the sage is awake. He is not sleeping. He is not falling under ignorance. So you can see what a tremendous amount of difference between a materialist and a person who is trying to advance on the spiritual path. This difference will always be there. And that's going to be the main difference. So Krishna is saying that Kim Asida, Arjuna asked, isn't it? How is he going to do? What is he going to be? How is he going to sit down? What will he be doing? So Krishna's answer, it is like this. That you can always notice him. When everyone else is busy, he is not busy. When everyone else is not busy sleeping, he is busy. So in other words, that awakening inside, that I am not this body, but I am spirit soul, and he is already stuck or fixed up
in his spiritual identity as spirit soul. And when that realization has come, then there is no question of only he has to look after from then on, not to fall from that back to this conditioned state again. Once he falls down from that, then he has to come back again to that. Oh, that will happen in the beginning. In the beginning, when the process goes on, many, many times, people will go back to spiritual realizations, come back from that again into material consciousness. This is likely to happen. But at some point in time, one gets steady there, and that is sthita prajnato. That when one gets to that position. So Krishna has answered here that for the samyami, or one who has one who is fixed up in spiritual life, he will find that this material existence is just darkness, and he will not identify with that. And samsaram in material existence, it is sushupti or deep sleep for him. On the other hand, the samsaram is a jagrat, he has no interest also. So one who is steady intelligence, he is already fixed up in that position. So these three topics we have discussed in the second chapter. And as I mentioned before, what we have to remember there is that the senses and the mind needs to be taken care of. In the whole of Vedic literature, the mind is the most important thing that's been given the greatest attention. For one reason only, that out of these three things, body, we have got three things in our capacity, body, mind and the intelligence, isn't it? These are the three things what has been given to us. So out of these three yoga systems also developed. For example, one whose intelligence is very high, not talking about the material intelligence now, I'm always referring to the spiritual intelligence, what I mentioned before. One who is following that path, for him, Jnana Yogam was created. And one who follow the Bhakti Yogam, as we are all trying to do, the process of Bhakti Yogam, for us, the mind has been created. And for those who are actively absorbed in the bodily consciousness of doing things in this world, whose mind is, or whose nature is always to work, and continue working, for them who are absolutely busy with their body, for them Karma Yoga has been created. So Karmam, Jnanam, Bhakti, three yoga systems, body, mind and intelligence, accordingly also do that same way. So in order to engage the three tools what we have been given, three yoga systems also came into existence. But the question will come now, if we read all these things and we trying to bring them all into our practical life, it seems to be, it could be a lifelong affair. And first of all, we don't have the capacity ourselves to do that. Because why these things are mentioned is that what will happen is, if there is no rules related to our spiritual life, people will speculate about it. Somebody will say, this is the way it is, and that's the way to go. No, we need the guidelines. And that guidelines Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita very clearly, the process he has explained. You follow this process, you will make it a success at the end. And when all these things were spoken to Arjuna, Krishna spoke about it to Arjuna, Arjuna had a doubt, who is a person who has reached a steady intelligence? This doubt has come to Arjuna's mind. Although it is not mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita very explicitly, Krishna had certain personalities in his mind when he spoke these things. It is not that he just spoke something which is not practical or which is not easy to execute. So in order to understand that, you have to read Mahabharatam. Mahabharatam, it is, although Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the middle of Mahabharatam, Mahabharatam is actually the background of Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Because you know that in Mahabharatam, there are two very important personalities. No doubt about it, Mahabharatam is centered around Krishna. Krishna is the personality around whom Mahabharatam is centered. 125,000 verses in Mahabharatam was only to bring this understanding of Krishna's position as the Supreme Lord. But there is another personality in Mahabharatam who has a very, very long role from beginning to end. Probably you have noticed, that is Bhishma Pitamaha. So this Bhishma Pitamaha was in Mahabharata war standing there. And if you read about this Sthita Prajnatvam and what is known as the steady intelligence, you will find that there is a strong relationship with Bhishma and what Krishna was speaking about. This you will see when many authorities on Bhagavad Gita who have studied Bhagavad Gita, their conclusion is that this Sthita Prajnatvam, what there are many others also, but to a very high extent you will find that in Bhishma. No doubt about it that the speaker himself is the first Sthita Prajnatvam. That you know from Bhagavadam and elsewhere, that who is Krishna's position is. But after all, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because he is the Supreme Lord, Krishna haven't had any of these, whatever he has spoken, it is to be understood that it's already there in Krishna, everything to the full. And that's why he's the Supreme Lord. So Sthita Prajnatvam, that steady intelligence is in Krishna all the time, you can see there throughout the Mahabharata war and also in Srimad Bhagavatam in different instances, which we mention again and again. But leaving aside Krishna, who else had it? If that question is asked, the first personality that will come to the mind is Bhishma. Look about Bhishma's life and you will notice there that these are the personalities who have shown the light to this world, how to deal with this world. That Bhishma, if you look back to his life in the Mahabharata, you will find Bhishma was born from Mother Ganga and Shantanu was his father. Shantanu married Ganga Devi and from that Bhishma was born. There's a long episode in the Mahabharata, which if you find time you can take it and read it, how that whole thing happened. But whatever it is, in order for us to understand Bhishma's glory, if you just look at these few things, you will find that how the whole description in the Mahabharata of Bhishma and this Sthita Prajnatvam in the Bhagavad Gita matches very well. When Satyavati Devi, which is Vedavyasa Maharshi's mother, Satyavati was the daughter of a fisherman, isn't it? A fisherman was the father and Satyavati was the daughter. So Satyavati was ferrying people in the Yamuna River from one side to the other side. So when she was ferrying at that time, once Parashara Maharshi, which is Vedavyasa Maharshi's father, came over. And Parashara Maharshi wanted to cross the river and asked Satyavati Devi if she would take him to the other side. And that's a well-known story about the birth of Vedavyasa. So it was in that time that Parashara Maharshi got attracted to Satyavati. She was a very beautiful personality. And she comes from the forefathers' planet known as Pitrloka. So this Satyavati Devi was attracted to, Parashara Maharshi was attracted to Satyavati Devi. And from that relationship, a child was born who is Vedavyasa Maharshi. Vedavyasa is that son of Parashara Maharshi. And this Satyavati Devi later on, after later times, was wandering in the forest once when Shantanu Maharaj, King Shantanu, went there for hunting. During that process, Shantanu saw Satyavati Devi and wanted to marry her. But when he wanted to marry, he was the king, no doubt. But in order to marry Satyavati, he had to ask the permission from her father. So when he went up to ask the permission from her father asked Shantanu, has he been married before? He was a very astute father, very clever in negotiations. He negotiated very well with Shantanu. And he said to Shantanu that you marry Satyavati today and tomorrow once you die and gone, what is Satyavati's position? Because she doesn't have any strength after that. And you have children from other marriages, I suppose. Shantanu said to him, yes, I have a son whose name is Devavrata. At that time, Bhishma's name was Devavrata. So Devavrata was there and he will naturally become the king. And what will happen to Satyavati? This was his question. So Shantanu didn't answer that question, went back to the palace. When Shantanu went back to the palace, and in the palace he was in a thoughtful condition, and Devavrata was there at that time, and he saw there was a change of mood in Shantanu. So one day Devavrata asked Shantanu what was that was causing him the unhappiness. And Shantanu told Devavrata that he saw Satyavati, this daughter of this fisherman, and he would like to marry her, but her father has objected to marrying her because of my present situation, that you will be the next king and what will happen to her in that case. Immediately Bhishma told him, if that's the only problem, that's not a problem for me, he said. This is Devabrata. Devabrata says to his father that I'll go, and there is a meeting. Devabrata going to see this father of the Satyavadi and having a discussion with him. So the fisherman raised this question that as long as you are there, you are entitled for the kingdom as soon as Shantanu die, and then I don't feel any security for Satyavadi. Devabrata said, no, that's not the point, he said to the fisherman, that my father wants to marry her. I'm not going to be standing on the way for that. I don't need the kingdom, he said. I don't need the kingdom. No, but he said to him, today you are saying like that, but I've seen in life many things happening. They'll say one, when they are young, they will say one thing. When they get 40, 50, they'll say another thing. And when they get 80, the whole thing will change again, story will change. This happens in life all the time. So he was very clever. He knew what life is all about, because already Satyavadi had this son, Vedavyas was born. So the father said to him, I cannot accept all that thing. He said, tomorrow if you decide to get married like your father, you may find some beautiful girl, you will marry her, and then naturally you will only, as soon as the marriage happens in a man's life, the whole scenario changes, isn't it? Up to that time everything is all high principles and values will be there, but once the marriage happens, then that Grihastha ashram shows its full power at that time, and anyone who has lived through Grihastha ashrama knows that also, what it's like. So how one becomes more selfish in one's own interest, in everything one sees only through the family, me and my family, that becomes the whole thing. So this is known to him. So he said to Bhishma that I cannot accept. So Bhishma said, your fear is that I may get married. Okay, I'm not going to get married in my life. I give you the guarantee. I don't want the kingdom. I'll give you the guarantee. I'm not going to have a wife either, he says to the father. So he was satisfied with that, because if he's not going to have a wife, he's not going to have children either. So there was no question. So because of all these things, in a man's life, there's a thing called Eshanatrayam. Eshanatrayam means that every householder in this world is working with three things. He needs three things. That is why he's toiling very hard. What's that? One, wealth. He wants money, vittam. Then next thing, the wife. He wants to have a wife. And the third thing, children. And these three things are something like is holding on to him all the time. Wealth, wife and children. They are called three things which is particularly difficult to break through, get out of it. And therefore it is referred to as Eshanatrayam. Eshanatrayam is the word in the Shastram. You will find in several places in the Bhagavadam and also in other Puranas also mentioned about Eshanatrayam. So it's difficult for a householder to break away from these three things. And therefore, what it says there is that Bhishma offered his full support to Shantanu, to the father, that these three things should not have to come on your way for you getting married. That was the sacrifice he made. Can you imagine? He was going to become the inheritor, inheritance, he was going to be the inheritor of the whole Shantanu's kingdom, which was virtually the whole planet. And Bhishma says, I'm not bothered, I don't need it. If you want to be happy, you carry on. He says, I don't want to be on your way, he says to his father Shantanu. And next thing he did was, when he heard that marriage is going to be a problem, that I may get married and I'll have children, and they'll make the claims, don't worry about it, I'm not going to get married, nor I'll have children. Such a decision to take at such an early age in life is very, very difficult for a man to do that. So even sometimes in this world today, people take decisions, but the next year it is broken, sex thing. And then he says, sorry about that. This sorry about that doesn't work in spiritual life. You're sorry about that, karma will follow you. If you say it like that, and saying sorry about that doesn't help. So Bhishma was not a person like that. Bhishma said something, he will stick to his words. Not that he changes every minute, and that he kept all his lifetime. He went through so much crisis. When Vedavyasa Maharshi was born, and then later on you will know what happened, Satyavadi Devi became Shantanu's wife. Shantanu married Satyavadi Devi. And from that marriage, Chitrangadam and Vijitravirya were born, two boys were born.
Chitrangada got killed in a battle and he had to go. Vijitravirya became the king after that. And Satyavadi Devi, Shantanu also left. So Satyavadi Devi was dependent on Bhishma to help her to keep the kingdom going. This is how Bhishma was. No attachment. Everything was done according to the necessity, but no involvement in anything. And then what happened? Vijitravirya had to get married. There are no children. So went to Kashi, king of Kashi. His three daughters, Amba, Ambika and Ambalika, those three daughters, he wanted to bring them over. But Amba said, I am not going to come because I am already in love with somebody else. I got to marry him. So Ambika and Ambalika, Bhishma brought them to the palace for the sake of, because Vijitravirya didn't have the courage to do that. So Bhishma said, there is no question. If I decide something, I'll get it done. He went there, brought them over. And then that relationship later on, Dhritarashtra and Pandu were born. Dhritarashtra was blind and Pandu had this disease on his skin. He also had a very short lifetime. So he had to manage when Shantanu left. Then he had to manage the kingdom. When Dhritarashtra was blind, he couldn't manage. Also he needed help. And then Pandu died and again he had to help for managing the kingdom. All this he was doing without anything expecting from this. No interest at all what happening otherwise. And after this, when the Mahabharata war happened, and at that time after the war was over, you will find there is one personality in the Srimad Bhagavatam for whose sake Krishna went to see him after the war. That is Bhishma. That Krishna went to see him on the 56th day. Mahabharata war lasted 18 days, but it is on the 56th day that Bhishma left this world. Krishna goes up to see this great personality Bhishma. And there also, even before leaving this body, Krishna wanted all that knowledge because of his position as Sthita Prajna, that everything should come from Bhishma and let Yudhishthira Maharaj and all the other great sages hear from Bhishma. This is what Krishna wanted from him to happen. So you can see there that he was free from Eshanatrayam. He was free from no interest in money, wife, children. He was free from all other attachment to the kingdom or anything like that. But he was the most active person in the whole Mahabharata from beginning to end. Bhishma had such a big role. That's why hundreds of pages. When it came to question of dharmam, what is dharma means? The person first Krishna wanted to hear was from Bhishma. Krishna could speak about dharmam. It is not a problem. But Krishna wanted that some other personality in this world, there are many other personalities who knows what dharma means. Because without dharmam, there is no other existence for the human society. Human society has to live on the basis of dharma. Dharmam is a basis. So therefore, there itself, Krishna wanted to establish Bhishma's position as the personality whose intelligence was steady. Unless and until whose intelligence is steady, like Sthita Prajna, this will not happen. So therefore, Bhishma is considered to be one of the few others who are in the Mahabharata who had attained this position of Sthita Prajnato. Who else? If you look Mahabharatam, you will find so many different personalities in this way. They all were such great souls that they had no interest in. They were able to do things the way Krishna expected them to work. Vedavyasa Maharshi, if you look at Vedavyasa, he has done so much. He has done more than anyone else in this world. Something like 400,000 verses he has written. Shastram he has compiled. Without Vedavyasa, where is Vedic culture? There is no Vedic culture without Vedavyasa, isn't there? So that Vedavyasa Maharshi, he did all these things. And what did he take from this world? Nothing. Nothing. He didn't get any royalty for what he has given to us. Nothing he wanted from us, anything. Simply keeping the welfare of the human population, the human society, Vedavyas gave us all the Vedic literature. And that too in the most difficult circumstances. And also, you'll find another interesting thing. Throughout Mahabharatam, wherever there was a crisis, Vedavyas was there to give the proper advice to the Pandavas as well as to the Kauravas. So another personality like Bhishma, who had no interest in any of these things. They were going through all this. Mahabharata war was happening. Krishna was there. And so many things were happening. But that saintly nature of these great sages, that they were not affected by any of that. That is the Siddha Prajnato. So you can see where that these personalities are not controlled by the material nature. They have gone far beyond than that. Another person, Vidura, if you take. You will notice in Vidura's life, although born in a, unfortunately due to a curse, Vidura was born here. But Vidura also, you will notice the same nature. When, as whatever duty he had to do, he did it right up to the last moment. But when he realized that Dhritarashtra Maharaj don't want to take any more instructions from him, and that war is imminent, Vidura left the kingdom and went on the pilgrimage. And said that, time will take its own toll. I cannot do anything about it. That was Vidura's attitude. And full detachment, walked out of the house, went away on the pilgrimage. Another personality. Kunti Devi. Look at Kunti Devi. How much suffering she went through with Pandavas. Normally, when suffering comes, we will always look for a solution to it. That's our way. That we will try to make some adjustment somewhere. And principles and all, we will leave it. That we can see later, we'll say. But Kunti Devi was not like that. Kunti Devi's attitude was religious principles, no sacrifice. Dharmam, always following in the path of dharmam. No deviation from there under any circumstances. Many instances, when Yudhishthira, particularly Bhima was coaxing her to agree many things. Kunti Devi said no. No question, she said. That path of dharmam is already established. And this is all possible because, of course, due to the mercy of Krishna. Krishna has given them that strength to act in that particular way. But more than above that, they are also examples of this Sthita Prajnatum, what Bhagavad Gita says there. So there are personalities in the Mahabharata alone whom you look deeper and deeper into their own life, you will find that there are classical examples in Mahabharatam who represents this, because we do not need not think that all this is all just theory, it's not applied to me. No. There are people who have translated that into their own life and they have achieved that perfection. So this is one important thing what you have to remember in the second chapter. So after this is over, we are now going to talk this most important topic, one of the most important part of the Bhagavad Gita, which is Karma Yoga. So before we begin with Karma Yoga, we have to remember this one thing, that knowledge of the soul, which was discussed, knowledge of the Siddhantam of Karma, that was discussed, and Sthita Prajnatvam, that was discussed. These three things were discussed in the second chapter, isn't it? These were the three things that was discussed in the second chapter. So, as you come to the third chapter, you will find Arjuna has been put into a difficult condition. Arjuna heard all this from Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is just coming out from Krishna. And Arjuna is hearing it, and Arjuna's first confusion started. First, Krishna talked about the soul and being situated on the spiritual platform. That's what Krishna said about the importance of the soul, isn't it? Knowledge. Krishna says knowledge is important. And then Krishna spoke about karma, action, that importance of karma, how it should be executed, all these things he said. And then again, Sthita Prajnatvam, which is also something very subtle, but if developed, it is due to the knowledge that happens, isn't it? If due to spiritual knowledge, this Sthita Prajnatvam develops in one person. So when he heard all these things, one side jnanam, other side karma. Two things were discussed there, isn't it? Those two things were, jnanam and karma were discussed in this second chapter to a large degree. It is either jnanam or it is karma. So Arjuna heard both jnanam and karma. And then the Arjuna's question was this, that Krishna, you have completely confused me now. What am I supposed to do, he says to him. So we'll just read that one or two verses and see how much time we have, because Karma Yoga is a very important chapter. And unless we understand it, what the way Krishna has spoken about it. Shri Arjuna Vaja. ज्यायसी चेल्कर्मणस्ते मताबुद्धिजनार्दन तल्किं कर्मणि घोरेम नियोजयसि केशव व्यामिश्रेण वाक्येन बुद्धिं मोहयसीव मे तदेकं वद निश्चित्य येन श्रेयोऽहम् आप्नुयाम्. Then Arjuna thought, after hearing the second chapter, that I should live like a jnani, not like a karmi. Why should I follow the path of karma when Krishna is talking about jnanam more important, knowledge more important? Not only that, Arjuna also got into the misunderstanding that karma is a dangerous thing. He says here, karmani ghore mam. Why do you engage me in this thing called karma? Arjuna was looking for an escape route, not to fight. That's what basically it was. Tal karmani ghore mam, tal kim karmani ghore mam, yo jaisi keshava, jaisi jal karmanaste, madha buddhi jana ardhanam. Then karma is dangerous, he says. And then Arjuna says to Krishna, if you think that jnanam is more beneficial than karma, or more superior to karma, then why on earth are you asking me to fight? That is what Arjuna put forward this question to Krishna. That vyamishrayana vavakena buddhim mohayasivami tadekavadam nishchitya yena shreyohama apnuyam. You are telling me about knowledge and work. Two things, isn't it? Knowledge and work was discussed basically in the second chapter. And after discussing that, I am now confused, but I get the impression that you are more talking about knowledge than the karma. And why you are asking me to fight then? This was Arjuna's question, which is a very sensible question from Arjuna's point of view, because Arjuna has been put into this difficulty. And every chapter you will find how Arjuna's doubts develop. And at that time, Krishna comes out and clarifies to him. And now it is the answer, Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Logesmin dvidha nishta pura proktamaya anaka jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. So Krishna there itself made Arjuna understand one thing. Then logesmin dvidha nishta, from creation itself there were two things. Krishna says to Arjuna, what was that? Logesmin dvidha nishta pura prokta maya anaka, and that was spoken by me. He says, Krishna says to Arjuna, I have established two things. What was that? Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Two ways, he says. If you want to understand that, first you have to think in this way. Imagine that what have we got with us in a human body? In a human body, you've got two things, isn't it? One is knowledge and the other one is work. Knowledge and work, that's what you have got. Knowledge is jnanam, karma is work. So Krishna says, pura prokta mayanakam, I have spoken about this many, many years before. Many, many millions of years ago I have discussed this. What was that? Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. These are the two processes. First of all, you have to fully be conversant about that. These are the two processes by which this world goes on. There is no other process, Krishna says. But when we say like this, you may wonder why Bhakti Yogam is not mentioned. There's no reference to bhakti there, is there? And we are supposed to be, we are not even caring about jnanam or karma. We are more concerned about bhakti here. And you will see that Srila Prabhupada's whole commentary on Bhagavad Gita is based on bhakti. Bhakti is the process. What we have to understand is that bhakti is the highest process. There is no question about that. But before we go into bhakti, sometimes we may get misunderstood sometimes, certain things. Jnanam and karma cannot be avoided. Even if you want to take away karma from a person, it is not possible to come out of karma. Karma is our inherent nature in us. As soon as you get a material body and you are in this world, you will bound to do karma. You cannot come out of it. So therefore, in the time when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and prior to that, jnanam and karma has been given some importance. Because through jnanam and karma, if one understands the position of the living entity's relationship with Krishna, then he can understand Bhakti Yoga process precisely what it meant, how Bhakti Yoga works. In the jnanamargam, for example, who is responsible for knowledge and work? In the Varnashrama Dharma system, which existed all along, of course today even that doesn't exist, so perhaps that way it is difficult to understand this. But whenever Bhagavad Gita is spoken, they will always say Swadharmam. That Swadharmam is mentioned. What does Swadharmam mean? Swadharmam means Varnashrama Dharmam. If you take Varnashrama Dharma away from Bhagavad Gita, and then there is no relationship, it's very difficult to apply Bhagavad Gita to people when do not understand that the importance of Varnashrama Dharmam. So Varnashrama Dharma means the four Varnas and four Ashramas. Brahmacharyam, Grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya and shudra. This is the four divisions in the society. Four varnas and four ashramas. Four spiritual divisions and four material divisions. So these divisions did exist and with some intentions also. That is discussed later in the Bhagavatam also. So here you will notice that there are, if you take the spiritual side of it, there is brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha and sannyasam. Isn't it? The four ashramas. Four ashramas. Sannyasa ashram, grahastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram and brahmachari ashram. Out of these four, two are very important. What are they? The householder and the sannyasi. So why they are important? Because the way it is structured is that in order to become a good householder, you have to be a good brahmachari. It is a good brahmachari life is preparing for the householder. Similarly, vanaprastha ashram is preparation for the sannyasa ashram. That is how it is. So, but out of the four, the sannyasi and grahastha, they hold important positions. Whereas the other two are virtually preparation for these two. Through a brahmachari, if one lives as a proper brahmachari, his householder life shouldn't get too much disturbed. It should go well. Similarly, if you execute your vanaprastha ashram properly, then your sannyasa ashram should also get through properly. Actually, it is pointless discussing these things today because in this modern world, none of these are there actually. There is no proper brahmachari, there is no proper householder, there is no proper vanaprastham, there is no proper sannyasi either. So, these are just, Krishna says like this, he said, when I have spoken these things were accepted and people taken it very seriously and they lived accordingly. But over years what happened was that just like you have the medicine in a bottle and the bottle has got a label outside saying that this medicine is for this diseases and this is the dosage and so many things are mentioned, the manufacturer and all that. So if the label outside and the contents in the bottle, they are matching together, then it is fine, then it's good, isn't it? But afterwards what has happened is, the medicine inside has changed. Only the label is outside. So this is our position today. We only have got the label, this, that and the other. But inside is all gone. The medicine has lost its potency. So if you like a medicine in the bottle. Like the brahmana today, he has only got the thread around. But the qualities have all gone. And say it's like in the Bhagavatam particularly, Krishna points out this thing. That so-called brahmana, his spiritual strength is gone completely from him. He has also come down to the same level as a shudra. He has left all his spiritual knowledge. He never tried to cultivate it. And he is always living in fear what will happen in the next moment. Worried about the salary and about maintaining himself. And then what is the point, Krishna says? Where is the point? So only the thread is there. Vipratve sutramevahi. Krishna says there, sutram is only the one that is left. This is not only brahmana, take about the others also. Whether it's a kshatriya, it's the same story. The vaishya, it's the same thing. Kshatriyas have all been replaced by our so-called MPs and elected people. And better not to discuss their background because then it will cause more problems. So that is also, the kshatriya quality is completely disappeared from this world. Virtually they have all been thrown out in the guise of this so-called elected representatives. Thousands of people sitting with a drawing a huge salary and enjoying their life. But that's another thing. So this system of varnashramam has completely broken up. Same thing if you take to vaishyas. Vaishyas are supposed to do only two important things. Krishi, Gauraksha and Vanijyam. Krishi and Gauraksha is their main occupation. And in fact, among the Vaishyas, there are categories, the two categories. One who does agriculture, other one does the cow protection. Nanda Maharaj and all belong to that Vaishya group who did the cow protection. And there were other Vaishyas who did the agriculture. Today, look at the Vaishyas, what do? They have got into all kinds of problems in this world by their so-called industrial empires they have built and exploiting the people as best as they can and telling them that I am a Vaishya. They are not Vaishyas. They don't belong to any group actually. In the name of industrial establishments, we have created a world where you push everyone to accept their material wealth and surrender unto them ultimately. You're not allowing any spiritual culture to develop in this world. So that Vaishya category also, consciousness wise or the quality wise, they've also gone. But there is one category which has not been destroyed at all. And that is the last one. So everyone jumps into that category straight away, which is the Shudras. So once you get that, because it is easy to categorize everyone into that straight away, because that is what today world is. Strictly speaking, the whole Varnashram Dharma has come to this Varnam, one Varnam, one color, which is the Shudra. So in that Shudras, all Shudras are sitting together and discussing what is spiritual life, what is advancement, what is Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam. It is a bit difficult to get that point through because of the nature of the Varnashrama Dharma. So when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, he had this Varnashrama Dharma in his mind very strongly. Based on Varnashram only, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. And at the same time in Bhagavad Gita, you will find Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham and Sannyasam. Now, out of these four, as I mentioned, Brahmachari is for preparing the Grahastha Ashram. Vanaprastham is preparation for the Sannyasa Ashram. Now, as I mentioned, Sannyasam and Grahastha, he has the two major responsibilities in this world.
Logesmin dvidanishta pura prokta mayanakha jnana yogena saghyanam karma yogena yoginam.
That if we understand why it is like this, that the grahastha's responsibility in this world is that grahastha has been given certain concessions in life. It's only concessions that's been given to him. Sannyasi is also supposed to act in a particular way. Sannyasa platform is a very elevated platform. But in that elevated platform, if the sannyasi also is not properly acting in that way, what a sannyasi is supposed to do, then sannyasa ashram also is not worthwhile. What is the point? Any of these ashram, none of them are in any way inferior. You shouldn't think that one ashram is superior to the other. Krishna doesn't say that anywhere. Nor they were created to compete each other, that I am better than you. This was not the goal behind it. The goal, every ashram you will find, in grahastha ashramam or in sannyasa ashram, both of them are opportunities for developing Krishna consciousness, which is the goal of everything. So in order to do that, certain structure Krishna has created, and that is for ashram dharma. So in grahastha ashram, one has been given this understanding that one, grahastha means what? Grahastha means karmam, isn't it? Karmam, you cannot write off karmam from a grahastha. Grahastha's life is the one which is full of karmam. So therefore, virtually karma yogam comes to, strictly speaking, to one group of people, that is grahasthas. And in this world, majority of the people will always be grahasthas. They are not going to be sannyasis. They are not going to be stay as okay, today, in today's world, you don't know what to say actually. Whether one is a brahmachari or a grahastha or a vanaprastha or sannyasam, what it is. The whole thing is so much topsy-turvy that actually you can't apply anything into the modern society. But in order to know that how a Vedic civilization has functioned and helped people to advance spiritually, that is why we have to study these things. So grahastha ashramam is such that grahastha means karmam. So karma yogam is virtually pointing to grahastha. That is why it is so important. Karma yogam is always pointing towards grahastha, not to sannyasi. Sannyasi has no karmam. Sannyasi has finished all these things. For him, for the sannyasi, he is fixed up in his spiritual position. As long as he is in his spiritual consciousness and he is executing his dharmam, according to the sannyasa ashram, doesn't have to come back here. He is already released from this. But grahastha's position is different. Grahastha is always in a danger zone. He has got red lines all around, like in the traffic lights, you see. When you go, it's double yellow line, or it's red line, like in the city. So there, he has to be more careful. And that is why this chapter, Karma Yogam, has been spoken. Because if we don't understand Karma Yogam properly, we will do all other things, and then still we will think we are all yogis. We will think like that. But yoga stands somewhere else and we'll be doing some other nonsense in the name of yoga. So, because of these things, what Krishna has said is that, first, in this chapter itself, the first words Krishna spoke about, jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Karma Yogam and Jnana Yogam, two processes I have from time immemorial kept in this world. These are the two processes you proceed and you will get to that point. Then immediately after that, Krishna decided to say something else. What was that? First of all, he wanted to make us understand what karma means. Because that even we do not know what karma means. We are thinking so many things. Sometimes people say, oh, that's my karma, Prabhu. I don't know what I've done. This, that and the other. But what karma, what does he understand about what karma means? That he has, many people find it very, very difficult to understand what karma means. Because when they have not thought about it enough, and they have not accepted it wholeheartedly, they will not feel fear of karma. Actually, one who understands Vedic culture, the first fear he should have in his mind is about karma. Because it is this karma that is causing the whole problem from beginning to end. How much stress we should give to karma, it's very difficult to say about that because of the strength of karma. So, but before we proceed further, now going into the details of Karma Yoga, I have to say certain things because when you read Srila Prabhupada's purports on these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada is pointing out to us to one thing. What is that? That is, that develop Krishna consciousness. This is the important message Prabhupada is giving. Why it is like that? Because that when you have understood that you have got a group of people who has not accepted Varnashrama Dharma, nor have they understood the principles of Bhagavad Gita or accepted it to their heart. For them, the only escape is Bhakti Yoga. There is no other process to become Krishna conscious. And because Krishna consciousness is the only route that is left for them, no doubt Krishna consciousness is the highest occupation if one can reach that state of consciousness. You don't need to study any of these things. Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, all these things are not necessary, provided if you have followed the process of Krishna consciousness strictly. But because we live in this world, and because we are controlled by the material nature and our own material needs in this world, if a devotee starts thinking, I am not affected by all the other rules in this world, I am independent because I am a devotee of Krishna, That's not allowed. He cannot transgress the rules. Rules are already said there. That jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. Jnanam and karma, although you may not study it, but the rules of karma yoga and the rules of the material nature, that you cannot break. Even if you are a devotee. You may be anybody, it doesn't matter. Because this is the reason why these things should be known to us also. We should know these things. And therefore, while commenting on Krishna conscious point of view, Srila Prabhupada has again repeatedly mentioned certain things here and there in different purports. As much as these purports were written, at the time when purports were written, and Krishna consciousness movement was spreading, at that time Prabhupada could see the tendencies in us, how we will twist the whole thing. So because he was aware of that, as much as while he was writing the purports, he mentioned that also, that these things can happen in due course, and if you don't take care of it in your own spiritual life. So we shouldn't think that everything is wonderful, what we are doing. Everything, every time, personal scrutiny and the scrutiny of everyone is necessary in this world. Otherwise, there is no scope for, because it's very easy to deviate. Just like Karmakandam became simply going to the heavenly planets to enjoy, similarly, the Bhakti Margam also, what it was meant to be practiced, can take in a different shape in our own life. This is another thing. So, therefore, Jnanam, Karmam is also important, necessary to understand, because they lay down the strict injunctions of how to act in this world. And if we do not follow that, and if we ignore all that thing, because I am a devotee of Krishna, that is not possible. That is not acceptable. Jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. That is why, before Bhakti Yoga was discussed in detail, Krishna brought in the third chapter itself first, jnanam and karma, not bhakti. It's for this reason only, because Krishna knows that how we are like, what we are like. As soon as we are given some opportunity, we will take advantage of it. Krishna knows that. So because he knew, he said he laid down the rules first very clearly. And there, that is the main reason that
In the third chapter, you will find karma has been discussed in depth. First, no doubt, Bhagavad Gita was spoken to enthuse Arjuna. But even in the process of enthusing Arjuna to fight, Arjuna should understand the principles of how to execute karma in this world. If he is not aware of that, he knew that Arjuna also is looking for excuses to get out of it. So Krishna decided to make him very, very clear in his mind that this is the loss of karma, what karma means, siddhantam of karma. So Krishna takes us back to karma yogam again. So that we'll go through the next four verses or so, I think four or five verses. Krishna has discussed the nature of karma. What does karma mean? Because it's such an intricate thing. Sometimes we talk all the time about karma, not fully understanding what karma means. Na karmana narambham, na ishkarmyam purushosnude, na ja sanyasana deva, siddhim samadigachari. Krishna is saying there, na karmana anarambha, na ishkarmyam purushosnude, that people are thinking that I am doing karma with my body, and if I control my body, I am not doing any more karma. I am free from my karma. Krishna says, no, you're not. You're not free from your karma. Karma is not done by your body. Karma is done by your mind, Krishna says. So even if your bodily activity stops, if your mind is still making plans for sense gratification, you are not finished your karma. Karma is still there. Because that is the nature. Most of the people in this world, if you look, if you notice, all of us, virtually you can say, our attitude is that either we are busy with something. As soon as we stop our business, we'll sit and start thinking, what's the next thing we can do? That's the way the mind is. That's the way we have trained our mind whole life, isn't it? So this applies to anyone, from the lowest to the highest. This is what is going on. From as soon as you wake up, the plan begins. And the plan goes on for the whole day, execution of the plan. And in the night, when everything is finished, you are finished with your, that the body and the senses are not allowing you, or the mind allowing you to do anymore, then you go to bed and sleep. And then wake up, again the whole thing starts. The same thing is going on day after day after day. There's nothing different, is there? Every day it is the same thing. Repeatedly we are doing karma on after the other day. So, but karma, Krishna is saying there, karma is naishkarmyam purushosnude naja sanyasana deva siddhim samadigachari. Understand, Arjuna, Krishna says, the nature of karma is like this. If you have stopped your body doing karma, your mind will not allow you. Mind will engage in karma itself. But karma yogis, Krishna says, they'll be doing the work with their body, but their mind won't be doing the karma. That is where the difference is between the karma of the mind and the karma of the body. That the body will continue to perform karma, but the mind is not affected by that. This is their karma. That is karma. The nature of proper karma execution is mentioned. Then the mind is not affected by that. Body carries on doing it. But a normal person will understand, oh, I have refrained from karma now. I'm not doing any more karma. That means he'll start taking, he'll throw away all the bodily activities and sit down one place quietly. He's thinking that, oh, now I have finished up my karma. I'm not going to do any more karma because karma is binding me to this world. So the best thing is I don't do anything. Krishna says, no, that is not going to work. That will not happen because the very nature of karma, swabhavam of karma is such that the mind is the one. That is where the karma has to go from, not from the body. The karma, the karmic nature has to go from the mind and not from the body. That's why Krishna is saying there that na karmana anarambha naishkarmyam purushosnude naja sanyasana deva siddhim samadigachari. That is the nature of the mind is such that everything what we do with this body, who is the one creating the trouble? The mind. The mind is the one that is manufacturing another body for us, isn't it? Suppose you execute a particular sinful activity in this life. You have engaged in some sort of sinful activity. The result of that sinful activity stays in your mind in the form of a vasana or propensity. So, who is actually doing karma? The mind is doing the karma. So, that is the reason why it is said that the mind is more damaging than the body. Body will do it and it's finished there. It will do some particular karma and it is finished and gone. But the mind, that will take it and that will think about it. The enjoyment he had from that particular sense gratification or from that particular activity what he has performed. And that will stay in the form of a seed inside the mind and that will continue in that way forever. So therefore, the mind is the problem. That unless the mind is purified, that karma yoga is not practical. Krishna is saying the swabhavam of karma is like that.
Nahi kaschil kshanam abhi jadu dishtatya karmagral karyade avashak karmam sarva prakrijayir gunayihi.
Krishna is saying there,
nahi kaschil kshanam abhi jadu dishtatya karmagral.
Then if you are trying to avoid karmam and sit in one place, that's also not possible. Because karmam is inherent in you, walking, lying down, speaking, and so many things you are doing in this world, and these things cannot be stopped because you got this material body. As long as you have this material body has its own dharmam or its own functions, and it will continue doing that. Even if you stop everything else, still you are breathing. So where is the question of stopping karmam? So that's the thing. Krishna is trying to say that, don't try to fool yourself by thinking that something in your mind, thinking that you have escaped from karma. It's not going to happen. And even if you have thought that you have done all these things, still the three modes of nature won't leave you, Krishna says. The three modes of nature are so powerful. Everyone is controlled by the three modes of material nature. And that will push you. That is why Krishna says, karyade avashak karma sarva prakriti jair gunaihi. Prakriti jair gunaihi. Prakriti, three modes of material nature and their qualities, goodness, passion and ignorance, sattvam, rajas and tamas, that is there to engage you in your karma. Because you are forced to act by this one way or the other, isn't it? Who can escape from the three modes of nature? Unless you are a personality who have transcended all of them. So as long as it's not done, sarva prakriti jair gunaihi, that prakriti will act, so you have no freedom, Krishna says.
Karmendriyani samyamya yamaste manasasmaran indriyarthan vimodhalpa mithyajara samuchyadem.
Sometimes what will happen is, somebody will think that, I am not going to execute any karma because my body is caught this karma. Sometimes we also do that. We curse the karmis, saying that, look at him, he's working so hard day and night. And we say it like this, that he must be an ass. After all, what's he getting, working to pay the taxes to the government? Is that what he's working for? We'll make all kinds of statements about people like this. And then we are saying that, look at me, I'm so intelligent, I'm not working, I'm living a life without any work, and I'm enjoying it. So this kind of thinking also will come to the people. And that is why one has to be extremely cautious about these things.
Karma indriyani samyamya yamaste manasasmaran indriyarthan vimudhalpa mithyajara samuchyade.
What has happened is that the mind has not left the karma. What has left him is this body. Body has left the karma, mind hasn't left. But one who is thinking about the mind all the time, that without doing any work, he is thinking that, I have escaped from karma. Krishna is saying, mithyachara samuchyade. It is more dangerous than anything else. Because if one follows that route, what will happen is, that because he is trying to adjust Bhagavad Gita to suit his own purpose, then that will not bring any benefit to anybody. On the other hand, it is only a question of falling down from there. So Krishna is saying there that in the Karma Yoga system, you have to remember that mind is the cause behind everything. And that is entangling in this world. There is no question about that. When one engages in the activities of this world, that will create new vasanas and new material bodies as well. That will be generated from that. But in order to escape from that, if you give up karma, that is not going to help either. That is what Krishna is saying. Because karma is inherent in you, you will not be able to escape from that. Mithyajara samuchyade. Mithyajara. Mithyajara means falsifying the thing. What is Krishna has spoken.
Yes, indriyani manasa neyamya arabade arjuna karma indriyai karma yogam asakta savishishyade.
That once the mind is controlled, mind is released from this control, then more or less you have won the karmic side of that. The karmic side has been released from that. But it is not possible without knowledge. That's what Krishna is saying. That unless you have developed some understanding of karma, how it works and how it is to be controlled, you are not going to relieve yourself from this problem. It is always continue with you.
Yes, indriyani manasa niyamya arabade arjuna karmendriyai karma yogam asakta savishishyade.
That one who can control his mind and able to function without being attached to anything,
Only then he can execute karma yogam properly. That is karma yogam. Niyadam guru karmatvam karmajyayohya karmana sharira yatra abhijade na prasiddhyeda karmanam.
That, what is the problem with karma? Problem with karma is this, that karma causes bondage. This is the problem. Whatever it is, no matter what you do, karma is bandhanam. And you will always find in all the prayers of Narottamdas Thakur, so many places Narottamdas Thakur is praying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to Krishna, that please relieve me from karma bandhanam. He says like this, karma bandhanam. Nobody can break away easily karma bandhanam. If you are thinking that by artificially manipulating you can escape from karma bandhanam, that is not possible. Karma bandhanam means that this bondage between my mind and the sense objects, that relationship is always will go on. No matter how hard you try to control it, the mind will still drag you in one way or the other. So karma bandhanam will always be there. As long as you are chewing on the different sense gratification in your mind, that karma bandhanam is strengthened again and again. So people will ask this question, if it is like this, why have they given me this mind? If mind is the whole problem, why was this mind given to me? This mind is the very material nature. That the material nature is in this mind. And that is how we are working in this world. If the mind wasn't there, sometimes we say, isn't it, that mindless nature in some people. That and we criticize them. Oh, he has not got a mind. Think about himself. Like this, different comments we make. But ultimately, the mind is a problem, and it is this mind that is linking us to the material world. And the mind and the material world, that is interacting all the time. And as long as that interaction is going on, it is not possible to escape from the karma. So there are many, many stories and examples given to illustrate this point in the Shastras, to make it easier to understand. But in principle, if we realize this, that it is not possible to escape from karma under any circumstances, unless we fully understand that the purpose of execution of karma is such that it becomes karma yogam. When it becomes karma yogam, then one can free oneself from that. And that karma yogam is what is action in Krishna consciousness. So, in order to execute Krishna consciousness, bhakti is another thing. Bhakti comes much later. Bhakti is a higher state, more than jnanam or karma. It's a much higher state of consciousness. That is for, to understand that, you have to study 30 or 40 personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam to understand what is bhakti means. That comes much later. If you look at Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find Sudeva Goswami, Parishit Maharaj, Kunti Devi, Bhishma Pitamaha, and after that you have got Prahlada, Dhruva Maharaj, Mahabali, Gajendra, and Gopis, Uddhava, Akrura, Ambarish, Vritrasura, and endless list. There is about 30 personalities we can quote from there. All of them were devotees. They were not karma yogis or jnana yogis. They were devotees. Kamsa is a devotee. Shishubala is a devotee. Why? Because they understood what is bhakti means. Although they acted in a different way. That is a different thing. But ultimately they reached the goal. Isn't it? If you look at Kamsa, what did he do? Through fear, he got back to Krishna. Yena gena pyubayena mana Krishna niveshayal. Rupa Goswami says this. Somehow or the other, if your mind has got attracted to Krishna, you are escaped from this. Problem is solved. So simply by fearing Krishna, Kamsa got back to Krishna. Shishubala, what did he do? Completely always hating Krishna. Again the same principle. Yena gena pyubayena mana Krishna niveshayal. Somehow or the other, mind should get attached to Krishna. That is the goal. That is bhakti. How you get it? It is immediate. You get there. That's all. So that is the point. That's what Bhagavatam is saying. So these 30 personalities, you can say in the Srimad Bhagavatam, all of them were devotees. They have finished karma, jnanam and everything. That's over for them. It's not important anymore. But there were pros of bhakti. But before getting that, we shouldn't think that I can ignore everything else in this world. And in order to execute the bhakti yoga process precisely in the proper way, a reasonable understanding of the laws of material nature, laws of karma is also necessary. And that is why Jnanam and Karmam has been given some importance in the Bhagavad Gita more than before giving the discussion about bhakti. So when Srila Prabhupada has written these commentaries, you will find that now and then Prabhupada has hinted at so many things, different things. What can happen in the process of identifying I am a devotee, but at the same time I do not accept everything else what Krishna has laid down the rules. That possibility is there. So therefore, Jnanam and Karmam also has to be understood to some extent, and at least the very basics of them, so that our Bhakti Margam does not get affected. Prabhupada will again, in order to encourage the devotees not to leave Krishna consciousness and not to give up Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada mentioned also the potency of Bhakti Yogam in several instances. Bhakti Yogam is a very powerful process if it is executed properly. And when Bhakti Yogam is executed properly, even if there are certain deficiencies or certain drawbacks in our understanding of the law, that will be covered up by the process of bhakti. Bhakti will purify that. But if the Bhakti Yogam is not executed properly, without completely rejecting everything else in this world, that Bhakti Yogam will take a lot of time to develop properly. That is the way. That is why all these things have some relationship in the Bhagavad Gita. Jnanam, Karmam, Bhakti, they all have some relationship. Bhakti Margam, Manojyam. Bhakti Margam is a beautiful process, Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada specifically mentioned this, in this process of bhakti, nothing can stop it. As soon as one may not have the all understanding of everything, and he is trying to advance on the path of spiritual life. And if one can surrender to Krishna, like the way Krishna has said, as complete sharanagati, as it's mentioned, total surrender to Krishna. And if that case, there is no need to worry about jnanam, karmam or anything. But conditioned soul cannot do that. Conditioned soul has its own difficulties. It takes time to purify one's own mind and intelligence to come to that consciousness, to come to that platform. So in order to avoid that delay, what is actually, as he mentioned before in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita itself, when Krishna says sarvadharman paritejam, it's a very simple statement. But when you want to do that, you can see what the problems are. That unless and until the purification is not there, that surrender won't stay very long. Today you will surrender, tomorrow you'll be back again to your other way of life. So that is why in the Bhagavad Gita it is spoken like this. We will have to study this Karma Yoga much detail later on. And that will give us the fundamentals of Karma Yoga to understand. But at the same time, in this modern world, Varnashrama Dharmam does not exist. And only shelter for anyone who comes to spiritual life is the process of bhakti, because that is the beauty of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga will allow you, anyone who has no qualification, who has no understanding of anything, is also qualified to be a devotee. Nothing stops him from becoming a devotee. And this is precisely the reason Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has mentioned that this process of bhakti, through the process of chanting the holy name. Why do we chant the holy name? So that chanting process will purify us, our mind, and get attachment for Krishna. That is the goal behind all these things. And in that process, the devotion will purify itself, ourselves, and all our misconceptions about life, about jnanam, about karmam will go away. And the purification will strengthen us, and pure development of pure devotion to Krishna will come to the heart. And till that point, we have to study Bhagavad Gita. We have to study Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are the two literature Krishna has left behind in this world for the human society. When Krishna departed from this world, Uddhava asked Krishna that how will the human society will survive. Krishna thought about it, keeping Arjuna and Uddhava in the front. Krishna left Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam for us. So we will study Bhagavad Gita Karma Yoga next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.